שלום ליהודים, שלום לבני נוח, שלום לגויים. It's the evening of the sixth day, יודס באייר, פרשס בחוכוסאי, תשעים וו, the evening of the fifth day, Thursday, 26 May 2016, webcasting from the room, as in the elephant in the room. Israel is the room, and the elephant inside that no one wants to see is hating the Jews, as people have always hated the Jews. Instead, they see the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, which is nothing but a smokescreen of verbal camouflage. J-Post's hopelessly liberal journalist-writer Tova Lazaroff today covered an event in London hosted by Prospect Magazine, I think it was on Tuesday, I'm not familiar with that magazine, in which former British Prime Minister and quartet peacemaker Tony Blair was given the stage to opine on the violence that never ends here. And by the way, today another Arab was affixing to stab a Jew with a knife, but I think he got caught. Tony Blair gave his support to the so-called Saudi Peace Initiative of 2002, which calls, when you get down to it, for Israel to hand over some 2,000 square miles of real estate that it has developed with its own money since 1967, calls for, in practice, 500,000 Jews to be moved out of their homes. And in exchange for this, the Arabs will allow Israel to have an office and an ambassador in each of their countries. They will speak and write the word peace on a piece of paper. They will open diplomatic relations. And the price for this is these 2,000 square miles of developed real estate and the turning of 500,000 Jews into homeless refugees, like the 10,000 in 2005. Tony Blair either has a very good act as a friend of Israel, but is insincere, when he plainly praises such an insane deal, or he's a fool and an ignoramus when it comes to the Arabs, and understanding what this violence is all about. But to be fair to him, maybe he has a feeble imagination and does not think through the consequences of such a utopian peace plan. We hand over all of this land, and all of those people are made homeless, and in exchange we get the word peace on a piece of paper, and a few diplomats and secretaries posted overseas. All Israel has to do is to hand back Judea and Samaria, and never mind the destruction of the lives of hundreds of thousands of Jews. He may not have the imagination, Blair, to follow through what his pipe dream would mean in reality. So, like many people, when they opine about Israel, they're really making a statement about themselves and where they stand intellectually and emotionally and spiritually vis-a-vis the Jews and our homicidal neighbors, the Muslim Arabs. Come to think of it, that's quite a combination. Muslims and Arabs, two cultures reinforcing each other. Like Barack Obama is a weird combination of Muslim and communist, so our immediate neighbors are Arabs and Muslims at the same time. Another terrible 1-2 punch. I mean, for years I scratched my head over the question, is our enemy the Arabs? It's the Arab-Israeli conflict, or maybe our enemy is the Muslims. I mean, what is wrong with these people who are so violent toward one another, let alone their own endless aggression against us? They kill far more of their own than they do of us. But eventually I came to the conclusion that the problem is their Arabness, not their Islam. They were acting like the way they act now before they became Muslims, and of course there are Christian Arabs who have been very high up in the PLO murder cult. It's the fact that they're Arabs, and the fact that there's no mention of Islam in the Tanakh, in Shas, the Talmud. It's their Arabness that predates their stolen religion. And it is the behavior of pre-Islamic Arabs that characterizes them to this day. This is why they're so obnoxious to the world, and that's Arab culture. Thousands of people are waiting in lines at airports to get on flights for the summer vacation, only they have to wait for hours because of the Arabs. It's the Arabs. They are obnoxious for their cruelty to one another as well. News item today out of Egypt, a week ago, after the events in Mina province, south of Cairo. I've been through there. It's long been known for its abuse of the Christians in that area. And last week, a mob of Muslims looted, then torched, 7 Christian homes after a rumor flew that a Christian man had had an affair with a Muslim woman. And so then the man's mother, in retaliation for this affair, was dragged into the street by the mob and stripped naked. Where else in the world does this happen? Things like this, these insane sex-based madness. Wow, like last New Year's Eve in Germany and Austria, literally mobs of sex-crazed Muslim males attacking hundreds of European women in the streets. Wild asses of men, whose sense of decency is so absent, they truly are like unbridled, undomesticated animals, jackasses in heat. They're not civilized and should not be allowed to live in civilized societies. So I pondered for the longest time, is it Islam or is it the Arabs? And came down, it's the Arabs. It's their nature. That Islam has only partially been able to bridle and subdue. Not that Tony Blair sees the parties here in these terms. He sees the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, which is a tug of war over real estate between two parties with equal rights to it. And doggone it, they both have equal rights, don't they? In fact, the Israeli-Palestinian conflict may be the most balanced conflict on the planet. The scales of justice do not tip to one side or the other. It's impossible to judge who has the superior claim to this real estate. And that is unique on the planet, isn't it? This is the success, the triumph of world anti-Jewry. In this generation, they invented a fairy tale and have gotten the whole world to believe in it, including, tragically, today's Israelis. That is the ruling class here. For example, earlier in the month, Prime Minister Netanyahu, responding to renewed talk of the so-called Saudi initiative, tweeted that, quote, an updated initiative which addresses our concerns merits further discussion. Israel will always seek peace, close quote. This is the Bibi's gambit of talking peace, but hedging his dream with such conditions, it's all double talk. That tactic has its merits in the short term, but not in the long. What's wrong with it is the continuation of the verbal camouflage about the violence here against us. It accepts the existence of a Palestinian people with national rights to a state, his Bar-Ilan speech, and he unwittingly then feeds the BDS types around the world. At Bar-Ilan, and even today, he functionally agrees with the BDS hate groups that the Palestinians have a right to a state. He unwittingly supports the BDS types in doing so. He has no argument with them over the right of the Palestinians to a state, and that they don't have one means they have legitimate grievance against the Jews, who have done them wrong and continue to do them wrong by denying them their rightful state. And so you read news items like this other one today about that African-American intellectual Cornel West, who has been drafted to help draft the Democratic Party platform. He is on record calling the Jewish presence in Judea and Samaria, quote, an ugly occupation, vicious, brutal, that must be brought to world attention. It needs to be brought to an end. There is no doubt that Gaza is not just a kind of concentration camp. It is the hood on steroids, close quote. Okay, here is this classically lowbrow Jew hater. Like Obama, like Al Sharpton, Obama's vizier on black affairs, agreeing basically with Bibi that the Palestinians should have a state and Israel prevents them by its presence, its occupation of land belonging to this nation, horribly abused by history because everyone knows that the Palestinians had nothing to do with the Holocaust, but they've been made to pay for it anyway. This is the Palestinian narrative, you know. After the war, the Europeans feeling guilty for the Holocaust, through the new United Nations, licensed the Jews to barge into Palestine and steal it from the Palestinians. And never mind that their leader lived in Berlin during the war and was on Hitler's payroll. The same Haj Amin who was planning, in the event of a Nazi victory, to establish death camps and crematoria in the Galilee. Israel's greatest mistake ever, I think, was refusing to fight the invention of this lie. Indeed, its leaders in politics and the arts have encouraged it. One cannot underestimate the importance of the role Israelis played in fostering the fictitious Palestinian national identity with concurrent rights as a nation, as real as those of the Jews, to a state, to its ancient homeland, what's now called Israel-Palestine. Like the Twin Cities, Minneapolis-St. Paul, Israel and Palestine are now locked in embrace, verbally concretizing in words the hostile designs of the anti-Jew.
Shabbat mekabela shamo vezacho bedibur echad yishmi'anu el ha-meyuchad Hashem echad u'shmo echad l'shem ul'tiferet Likat Shabbat lechu v'nelcha ki mekor haberacha v'rosh mikedem nesimcha sof maaseh machshava tchila lecha dodi likat kala Shabbat nekabela Mikdash melech Ir melucha Umitzei Mitoch hafecha Rav lach shevet Bemek avacha Hu yachmol Alayich chema
Yeah, this performance on Tuesday by Tony Blair was a fine example of the verbal gas that human beings exude these days when trying to talk intelligently about the homicidal aggression against us here by the Arabs, who have been given permission and license to act as they do by their uncivilized notion of a monotheistic religion. I said before, it is anti-Jew propaganda to talk of Islam as an Abrahamic religion. Copyright infringement, intellectual property theft, I'm sorry. This is no way true. Abraham was the epitome of kindness in his time, as Noah, his forebear 10 generations back, had been a standout in righteousness, Avraham was the kindest of men, but his firstborn son was just the opposite. He took after his mother's people, the Egyptians, Egypt being one of the four sons of Ham, son of Noah, who may have either raped or castrated him, his own father, which may have been at the root of that recent horrible news, 44 years later, that when Mahmoud Abbas's emissaries in Munich at the Olympic Games tied up Israel's athletes in that dormitory, they chose the strongest, the weightlifter, Yosef Umanu, to castrate him in front of his teammates. Israel's foolishness in 1993, the foolishness of those shallow, anti-religious, uneducated blockheads Peres-Rabin and Balin, and their crowd to think it was not only smart, but moral, to shake hands with Arafat and Abbas on the White House lawn that September 13th. It was a kind of stupidity about human nature and immorality, mistaken for high morality, to do that, shake hands with these men responsible for the Munich horror, to expect from such brutes a transformation from lunatic ghoul terrorist fiend to good neighbor who keeps his end of the bargain and wants only new, friendly, win-win relationships. This is virtually inhuman, abnormal. If Arafat and Abbas were not famous in politics, they would be local Arab mafiosi gangsters with whom no decent person would go into business with. And what does Bibi do? In his tweet, he ended up by saying Israel will always seek peace. When that too is part of the Palestinian narrative. Israel wants a peace with the Palestinians and agrees they should have a state, but Israel has security concerns. He said Israel is always seeking peace, as if Israel has to prove that. As if this conflict is about an Israel that doesn't quite want peace. And to do that, Israel has to concede something, compensate the other side with something, which Israel is willing to do, says Bibi. Israel's respect for their demands is no good. It has negative consequences. The Palestinian narrative is 100% as fraudulent as Holocaust denial. They are both mutilations of history. The former deletes events in the past as if they never happened, and the latter invents events in the past that did not happen. There's a downside to this, Israel's behavior, and one of its negatives, other negatives, is the effect on the Israeli people and Jews themselves, telling them, yes, we owe the Palestinians something because our behavior was less than perfect. We bear guilt and must compensate the victims of our Zionism. This playing along with the fantasy does immense damage. I think every school kid in Israel must be taught that there are no Palestinians, that this is a hoax. They should be called Southern Syrians, because that's what Haj Amin said for 40 years. It's all a lie, which is what has been true about anti-Semitism throughout history. In every generation, people believe in deeds of great evil committed by Jews, which legitimizes Jew hatred and taking serious action against them. In other words, when Bibi says Israel always seeks peace, he's replying to accusations that Israel doesn't want peace. He has to say, oh yes, we do. He does not deny the accusation, he affirms it. He might respond, that's the Arabs who must seek peace with us and cease their homicidal aggression against us and recognize our right to our ancient homeland, as we recognize the Arabs' right to their ancient homeland, the Arabian Peninsula. So Tony Blair was flacking for the Saudi Peace Initiative, which the Arabs understand to mean the driving of 500,000 Jews from their homes, and asking Israel to, Blair did, commit to a discussion around the Arab Peace Initiative as the context in which these negotiations took place, and it will become possible to take some steps of normalization along the way to give confidence, close quote. What a mouthful of cotton candy for the mind. He wants Israel to commit to discussing the Saudi initiative, and that would lead to, quote, some steps of normalization along the way to give confidence. Dear me, 23 years ago, Israel tried that. The old, you know, confidence-building measures, that was Oslo. That's how they talk at the Brookings Institution, where Martin Indig is in charge. They talk of a peace process as if there is a movement from one stage to another, when judging by the Arab media, the Arabs haven't moved a millimeter in 23 years. Their fantasy life about Jews has remained unchanged. We just saw last time they teach their little girls that Jews murder Muslims on the Temple Mount. There's no difference here between this fantasy in the 21st century and that of an illiterate Polish peasant 1,000 years ago who believed Jews murder others to suck out their blood. Said Tony Blair, quote, "You have a gulf of trust and credibility on both sides. And the only way you can bridge that is to build from the bottom up as well as from the top down." Close quote. And I ask, what is that supposed to mean? A gulf of trust and credibility on both sides? Moral equivalence between Israelis and Palestinians. A similar level of intellectual and emotional intelligence, too, one supposes. Both should trust the other side more. That's what he's saying. Once again, we're in the land of make-believe, as if there's any equivalence between our reality testing and theirs, our preference for honest history, and their fantasy life, which rewrites history to help them get what they want in the present. Anyone, Tony Blair included, who sees any equivalence between Jews and Arabs in this clash is simply misreading reality and truth.
Yeah.
You're listening to www.deprogramprogram.com, broadcasting from the hills of Judea. I'm Shai Ben-Tekoa. Yes, I wish the Prime Minister in Israel and other spokesmen were more direct in ceasing to plead that Israel wants peace with the Palestinians and instead shine a powerful searchlight on the darkness in their minds when they think about Jews. They really are, so many of them, off the rails in their brains. A week ago at the UN, an exhibit on Israel called Jerusalem the Spiritual and Physical Capital of the Jewish People, and that angered the Arabs in that organization for, quote, purporting to assert Israeli sovereignty in Jerusalem. The Arab PA spokesman called the display of images of Jerusalem, quote, misleading and inappropriate depictions that negate the Palestinian existence in the city as well as its historical Arab, Muslim, and Christian identity and heritage over the centuries. That's what the PA's chargé d'affaires said at the UN. This is from the same PA that we just learned spent $24 million to build a museum of Palestine, presumably to parallel Israel's National Museum, which is wonderful, by the way, in its refurbished state near the Knesset. Only that Palestine museum is empty. If the PA cannot fill it with artifacts of Palestinian history and culture, how is Israel supposed to portray the Palestinian presence in Jerusalem on this display? I mean, is there a church or a mosque unique to the Palestinians celebrating the Palestinian rite? I mean, Catholics, Roman Catholics, and different Protestant sects have their churches in Jerusalem, and Armenians, and Greek Orthodox, and Russian Orthodox all have their distinctive churches. Why don't the Palestinians? Has there ever been a conflict between two parties in which the core of the conflict is forever hidden? Fatah had been the top dog terror cell in the PLO syndicate. Then it was cloaked as the PA, disguised as the Palestinian Authority in 1993, because of its deception that they were nationalist freedom fighters, patriots for their nation and their historic patria, their homeland, when in truth Fatah was founded by eight Arabs who grew up in the Muslim Brotherhood, whose branch in Mandatory Palestine had been founded by Yasser Arafat's father. Arafat grew up in this group as sort of like the son of the scoutmaster in the local scout group. All of them were loyal to the Muslim Brotherhood, which was founded to combat Western-style nationalism. The Brotherhood was created in 1928 in reaction to Ataturk's triumph in Turkey in deposing the caliphate of the Sultan and introducing Western-style democracy. He ordered that the Western alphabet replace Arabic as the script to write the Turkish language in. Men were no longer allowed to wear the fez as a symbol of the old culture. Women were freed from their scarves and hoods. And all this horrified Hassan al-Banna in Port Said, Egypt, a school teacher, who that year mourned the defeat, the collapse of the Ottoman Empire ruled by Sharia law. It was his goal to return the Middle East to its Islamic roots and reject all notions of Western liberal democracy, including the very anti-Islam heresy that the Jews had a right to independence in Dar al-Islam, the House of Islam. That was the League of Nations mandate. The West simply has to wake up to the menace that Islam is. It's simply not like other religions and religious communities. Think of those hordes of Muslim men on New Year's Eve in many cities in Europe who behaved in ways unknown in civilized societies. Islam is different. Last week, J-Post cited a memory.org translation of a jihadi publication saying that ISIS sees in its hostility to Israel a fight against all polytheist combatants, including the Jews, who are legitimate targets. They get that concept from the Quran. Yeah, ISIS is aware of Israel's surveillance in Sinai and Syria, of its operations using drones and spies, and they threatened, in response, a global war against Israel. ISIS also sees itself at war with others in the world and the Middle East who are secularists, nationalists, communists, and even Hamas, which ISIS sees is not really Islamic because it makes ceasefires with Israel. In a nutshell, Islam is a religion that is shamelessly bent on overrunning the whole world and killing as many people as it needs to in order to succeed. And as we all know, they have no scruples about anything. They license themselves to do anything to anybody in their self-righteous drive for world conquest. I don't use the terms radical Islam, extremist Islam, because they are misleading. They misdescribe the reality as I see it. It's just Islam. If one wants to add an adjective, I prefer belligerent Islam, as opposed to the passive types who call themselves Muslims, because they're just lazy, I guess. But it is a crusading religion. I prefer belligerent Islam from the Latin word for war. They are at war with the world, and those who do not agree that Islam is the only correct religion are their enemies unto death. Islam, not Palestinians, not even ISIS or Al-Qaeda, is the enemy.
נער כמוני לתקן את אשר שיחטתי אך אף על פי כן ידעתי ואני מאמין באמונה שלמה כי אין שום ייאוש בעולם כלל אין שום ייאוש בעולם כלל יש לי תקווה ועדיין לא עבדת תוכלתי מהשם כי חסדי השם כי לא תמנו כי לא חלו רחמיו כי לא חלו רחמיו ואתה איך אוכל לתקן זאת ובמה יזכה נער כמוני לתקן את אשר שיחטתי אך אף על פי כן ידעתי ואני מאמין באמונה שלמה כי אין שום ייאוש בעולם כלל אין שום ייאוש בעולם כלל אך אף על פי כן ידעתי ואני מאמין באמונה שלמה כי אין שום ייאוש בעולם כלל אין שום ייאוש בעולם כלל ועדיין לא יש לי תקווה ועדיין לא עבדת תוכלתי מהשם כי חסדי השם כי לא תמנו כי לא חלו רחמיו כי לא חלו רחמיו ועדיין לא יש לי תקווה ועדיין לא עבדת תוכלתי מהשם חסדי השם כי לא תמנו כי לא חלו רחמיו היי 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 כי לא חלו רחמיו היי 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 כי לא חלו רחמיו כי לא חלו רחמיו היי 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 כי לא חלו רחמיו
Okay, that's it for this Thursday and for the week. I'll be back, God willing, after the Holy Sabbath. Until then, Laila Tov, Me'eretz Yisrael.